Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Now, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again for a radio audience tuning in Mississippi at WYAD 94.1 FM. We thank you all for being with us. Those tuning us on the East Coast in Atlanta at 106liveradio.com, welcome to you. And then those tuning in around the world through our friends at blogtalkradio.com, we're glad you all could be with us as well. Sharon Neer is making her first appearance on our program today. This week, she's celebrating the release of a powerful book. It's her journey in life called The Opposite of Comfortable, The Unlikely Choices of an Immigrant Career Woman. We're going to talk to Sharon not only about the journey and what it was like for her to share her story, but also I think the universal themes that her life really shares for all of us. And a lot of times when we think about something that is comfortable, a lot of us, especially those of us who are entrepreneurs, we always talk about the importance of moving outside of our comfort zone, trying something new. But sometimes we don't think about the cost of those choices and what we're giving up in the process of trying to get more. We're going to talk to Sharon not only about that balancing act for her, but also her family and what she hopes you're able to take away from the book. Sharon, hello to you, and welcome to Conversations Live.
Hey, Cyrus. Good to be with you today. Thank you for having me.
Oh, the pleasure is definitely all mine, Sharon. I love the book. I posted my review on Amazon.com today. We're going to tell our audience a little bit later how they can get the book for themselves. You know, I read this book, Sharon, with a lot of interest because, you know, when I first read the title, The Opposite of Comfortable, I think, you know, a lot of times there is this conundrum of, you know, a lot of times comfortable is a good thing. For other times, sometimes we get complacent. But in your own journey, it's great to see how you were able to make decisions, make choices, and to be able to reflect on those choices and to think about what was good for you, you know, and what maybe you would have done differently. What has it been like for you, Sharon, to now share that with all of us?
Well, it's a great opportunity to share that comfortable, and usually we think that being comfortable and easy and painless, it's great, and this is the life we want to have. It's a smooth sailing to the horizon and on our way to eternal bliss. But actually, I found that being uncomfortable, uneasy, and sometimes painful, those are all growth opportunities for us. Those are the points of friction that promote action and make us do things. And during my journey, I was rarely comfortable, but I was able to take this place of being in places in an uncomfort zone, in my definitely uncomfort zone, and being able to learn that there are other options of self-expression and realization, and that was what I was able to achieve.
Yeah. I think that is so true, and I think that is the amazing thing. And a lot of times, Sharon, I thought about this too, that a lot of times we don't think about others in this process. We just think about ourselves. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and because of that, the decisions that we make, we feel like, well, you know, this is just the way it is for me, so surely it's the same way for other people. Do you think that's one of the things that definitely has kind of demystified things for people when it comes to you, that they realize that, you know what, every choice is not right for everybody, that everyone has to kind of choose their own path and decide what is going to bring them the most peace?
Yes, this is the message that I'd like to pass. This is the takeaway message from the book, because we live in a society that sometimes tell us what we need to follow, what ideas we need to follow, what is good for us, what is best for us, and especially women today hear many times that there is correlation between climbing the corporate ladder and breaking the glass ceiling and self-satisfaction and fulfillment. And sometimes the choices that we need to make are against those messages that we hear, and we many times feel like we are not enough, we are not doing enough. to support the world effort, you know, of achieving parity and gender equality. And I actually chose against this message. I chose to promote my family needs and put myself aside for a while, and that what allowed me to find satisfaction and a lot of fulfillment. I found other ways to channel my ambition, and I found ways that I can make myself happy but also my family happy. And that was a great achievement, because it doesn't have to be one at the expense of the other. We can combine those things. We can make it work, and sometimes promote others and leave ourselves at the side, and then it's our time to shine. So thinking about others in the process and learning that giving up is not an option, but trade is. We can trade things. We can trade our family for a career or career for a family, but we always have to remember that what we trade for is matchless. We need to select our trades carefully, and if we will, we can really be satisfied and find happiness.
Exactly. That is so true. I want to read what you said just now, Sharon. That reminded me of something in chapter 10 of the book, Outsmarting Feminism. This is what you wrote in the book. All I'm saying is that you should do what is best for you. I don't expect you or any other woman to make the same decision I made. I admire women who chose a different way of living because I support a woman's right to choose, not because they choose to have a career, relationships, and children all at the same time. In their eyes, it is considered an achievement that is worth the price. I see it differently, and that is my right. That takes, you know, not everyone can walk in their own power. I mentioned this in my review on Amazon as well, because I think this is so interesting, because a lot of times we give our power up to others to make others feel good, you know, about the life that we're living and the decisions we make. You know, how did that help you to keep that power for yourself and to realize that you were just as important as anyone else?
I think that I've always knew that I was important. I never saw that my decisions or choices, though, are only mine. I think that it was in chapter 3 when I described that I'm living, I told to my employees that I was following my husband, I'm following my men, I said, to New York. When I said that to them, they looked very surprised. It wasn't the woman that they saw in me. And I explained that it wasn't only my decision to make. It was, I had a son. He was a year and a half when I made the decision to leave my career behind. And I said that if he were able to choose, he would probably want to be with his dad and with me. And to break up the family then wasn't, to me, an option. But I always knew my values. I always recognized what I believe in, and I felt strongly that this is what I should follow. I shouldn't be distracted by what other people think and what other people say I should do, because there were many people, many colleagues of mine that thought that I should stay behind. But to hear your inner voice is probably the most important thing, and follow your intuition. Always remember what are your what the things that you give prioritize to, and follow them. If you do that, you will be probably able to achieve much more, because I've seen women who followed other women's dreams, and when it's not your own dreams, you lose such a big part of yourself. So you must follow your beliefs and do things the way you think they should be done, even if the society tells you otherwise.
Exactly. And this became clear in a lot of different ways. I mentioned to you before we went on the air here, Sharon, about your son, and I want to talk about him next. I want to say for those who are just tuning in, either on the radio dial or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. I'm real excited to welcome to our program today Sharon Neer. She's the author of the fascinating new book, The Opposite of Comfortable. The subtitle is The Unlikely Choices of an Immigrant Career Woman. We'll tell you again later on how you can stay connected with Sharon. But, Sharon, you're very open and honest, not only about your own own life and your husband's, but also your son as well. In chapter 15, you know, that's when you're able to really put into words what is going on with him. You say in that chapter of the book, my son has dyslexia, and he will have to struggle with reading and writing throughout his life. The dictionary definition for inability is the state of being unable to do something due to a lack of sufficient power, resources, or capacity. I consider an inability to be subjective because it is incidental, and it is potentially can be reversed or change. Thus, people should not learn to live with it. Often when I have to tackle a task, a project, or a mission that I've never encountered, or the level of complexity where it was higher than I had ever handled before, my instinctive reaction was a withdrawal to the inability zone or to translate. I had the feeling that I could not do it. It was impossible. But you went on to say, and I think this is the powerful thing here, Sharon, years later I understood that most of the challenges I encountered in life and considered impossible to resolve were not only solvable, but could impact my mindset and turn into an inspiration for life. What was it like for you to realize that for yourself and then to even be able to pass that on as you were raising your son?
So as you said, my son has dyslexia, and dyslexia, it's a learning disability. He will always struggle with reading and writing. And looking at his struggle to do those simple things that you and I are taking for granted was very inspirational, because I understood that the difference between inability and disability. And you know, throughout this journey, I always say, when people ask me about relocation or immigration, what it is like for the children. And, you know, sometimes we forget that they have many difficulties. He had struggled with a major difficulty, but it can just be the shock of moving to a new place.
Right.
But it's very important to remember that it's not that we can't. It's not that we cannot do things. Sometimes we feel like it's impossible for me. Sometimes you hear the first thought that comes to mind when you think about a challenge that you are facing. It's, oh, it's impossible. I will never be able to do it. But it's not really an inability, and it's not a disability. You just choose not to do it. But if you change your mind, and this is described in a later chapter in my conversation with my friend Ruthie, where I talk about options, and or she talks about options. We always
right.
need to remember that this is something that is available for us. There is always an option. There is always a solution. If we can only trick our mind to think that there is a solution, we just need to find a way to find it, we would achieve pretty much everything we want in life. So that is the difference between disability and ability. And regarding the dyslexia, I think that parents who have kids with dyslexia can read there about the struggle and about the way, an alternative way of dealing with dyslexia, regardless immigration or learning a second language. There's a whole chapter there about the way I helped him go through it and be able to gain language skills.
Right. And I think that is the thing, and I think it's such a powerful thing as well, Sharon. You mentioned, the issue of immigration, and I thought it was interesting when it comes to your story. You know, something else that I think is missing, and one of the things that I've done, I've been hosting the show now for 12 years, and I've always made it a point of allowing the guests to tell their story, not to try to give Cyrus's opinion about anything, but allow the mm-hmm. guests to tell their story, to share, and then allow the audience to be able to take it from there and making their decisions and to have a conversation with themselves. What I thought was so interesting was perception, because I think in this country, in the United States, there is a perception of people that is not necessarily true. Just as you share in the book, the opposite of comfortable, there's a perception in other countries about individuals in this country that's not necessarily true. I mean, do you think that part of the thing that could help us all is realizing that we are all people and start there and trying to better understand each other as individuals?
Oh, definitely. The book is about also about culture and culture differences. And I think it pretty much shows that we are all, as you said, it's truly is, we are all people. We all have inspirations and hopes for the futures and things that we would like to achieve in life. And we struggle and we face challenges and we go through wonderful things and terrible things, but we are all people, and basically it's all about learning how to help each other and just let everyone live their own life the way they want to live it, without having to judge people for their decisions or criticize them for not choosing the same routes as we chose. It's just about being open-minded and keep doing whatever you like to do the way you do it without fearing of being misplaced or categorized in a category that might not be appealing. So that is, it's very clear from the book that we are essentially all the same.
Right, we are. And I think that makes your story even more powerful, Sharon, because it shows us that this isn't just your story. This is all of our story. Mm-hmm. The circumstances may be different some way, but I think the thing is that that all of us can get to a place where we can not only be able to be at peace with ourselves, be at peace with others, but also to be able to thrive. I mean, I think, and I love the fact, that's why I read that one section, about you making decisions for yourself and that you wanted your decisions respected as others should want their decisions respected. Is that what you also hope that people will realize, the importance of not only their own right to choose what they want, but also to follow that and to not feel guilty about it?
Absolutely. My life-altering experience, it involved in immigration, but it could easily been interchangeable with, another unexpected circumstances in life. People lose their job or wanting to go back to school or suddenly having a baby in a later phase in life. It's just that the feeling that no matter what prompt the need to shake a life, there is always a possible to reposition and regenerate life and find fulfillment and satisfaction, as long as you're following your own dreams, your own wants. And I wrote there in the book that I feel that a woman's true spirit is an ability to make the choices that are right for her, giving
right.
The reality she faces and according to her personal preferences. It's just this feeling that, there's nothing, almost nothing is one size fits all. I never met
right.
anything that it was, especially not in the 21st century, that was one size fits all. It doesn't. We all need to look for what is good for us. As long as we're respecting our choices, we will be better respecting other people's choices. And that is the message. Do your own things. Remember that others have the right to do the same.
Exactly. So true, so true. And what a great reminder for us all. Again, everyone, Sharon Neer is our guest for this segment. We're discussing with her new book, The Opposite of Comfortable, The Unlikely Choices of an Immigrant Career Woman. And again, this is all of our story that we are sharing here. You mentioned Ruthie. I actually referenced her before we went on here. Sharon, in chapter 16 of the book, All You Need is Options. 10 years ago, you talked about, this conversation that you had with Ruthie about options. And again, I think it goes to, again, how we look at what it means to be comfortable. But one of the things that I thought was so interesting about the way that, that Ruthie saw things was that a lot of times we allow fear, and we talk about this a lot on this program, fear to keep us away from what could make us the happiest, bring us the most peace, simply because we automatically eliminate certain choices. This is just part of what she says. When it comes to problem solving, people exhibit three different approaches. approaches to options. People who believe in their inability to solve problems may really be fearful of the costs related to the solution of their choice. This fear is paralyzing and leads to a complete standstill where the problem exists and the solution is available, but nothing is done to solve it. What has it been like for you to know, Sharon, that you not only have been able to not allow fear to stop you, but by your example, you've been able to show others, women and men, how they can do the same thing?
Fear was a big part of the equation, especially when you are facing immigration. And from the book, it appears that we had many times of uncertainty during this process of high-skilled immigration to the United States. It was a baffling, grueling process of immigration, and there were times that I didn't know where we'll go. Once the kids asked me, you know, it was I think 3 weeks or months before school started, and they didn't know if they'll go to a school in Israel or in the United States, if we'll where will we be. And it was terrifying to think about that when you don't know what is next for you. Think about that something happens in life, and it can be anything, that makes you suddenly so frightened, and you just don't know what is next for me. And it can be really paralyzing to be suddenly in this place where nothing is certain, and you don't know what is happening. But as Ruti said there in that conversation, there is a solution, but because you are so scared, you can't really see it. I learned, and that's why I said about being uncomfortable, because, you know, practice makes perfect. It's true. As many times as you are uncomfortable and you are fear for something to happen, you suddenly see after a few experiences like that you start to slow down and you just almost feel like you were able to train your mind to just slow down and realize that there is a solution. It may not be the number one solution. It can be really, you know, it can be bad, but it's an option. And if you collect all those options, even the bad ones, the ones that you think that are the worst and that you will not follow them, but if you collect all those, suddenly you feel and you see as time goes on that sometimes the options that you never thought you would consider are the options you finally choose. So this ability to put fear aside and just focus on finding the solution, like the fear is not even existed, take the fear out of the equation, that is a powerful process. That is something that can really help you get to the right solution, even if it's not the solution that you had in mind, but it is a solution eventually.
Right. Yeah, because you never know what's going to be on the other side. You never know what's
exactly
going to be on the other side. You never know where it will lead. Last thing I want to talk to you about, Sharon, you begin the book with really the ending of your story. There's that beautiful picture from July 2015. What is it like for you to look at that picture and to reflect on what it took for you to get to that place?
Okay, the picture you are talking about is the picture of us, the family, in Mount Rushmore in South Dakota. It's a picture of us, my family, my husband and two children, holding a sign, class of 2015, green card, class of 2015. And this picture is when we got right after we got our green card, we traveled to Mount Rushmore, and it was a great feeling standing there. Although I think that right after I tweeted Congress, I think I used the Congress tag, and I tweeted them if this is the immigration system that our founding fathers had in mind. Because, you know, being in this powerful place and thinking about those great men who were so advanced in so many ways, and they understood truly you know, what is America about? They had a vision for America, and I have a feeling that if they knew what's going on with the immigration system today, they weren't so happy about that. So yeah, it was a powerful. We traveled all over the United States, and we become very familiar with the culture here and everything. We are not visitors here. This is our country now, and we are doing everything we can to support it and contribute to our society, our community. And yes, another, by the way, takeaway message from the book is that we need an immigration reform. We really need it. My book, I think it's the first that had been written from high-skilled immigrant point of view. I'm not sure that any other high-skilled immigrant wrote a memoir about this experience, but people really should know what it means to immigrate to this country and how important it is. Look at the people who are coming here and know how important it is to fix what's broken.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And I think, again, the conversation definitely has to be had. It's so great that we're able to have you be a part of that conversation, Sharon, through your book. Again, Sharon Neer has been our guest. The Opposite of Comfortable is her book, available for you all to get now through our friends at Amazon.com, The Unlikely Choices of an Immigrant Career Woman. Sharon, thank you so much for being on with us. How can our audience stay connected with you?
They can follow me on Facebook and Twitter. On Facebook, I am posting almost every day a post about women, career, immigration, and subject that I care about. And they can follow me at Sharon V. Neer on Facebook or at Sharon V. Neer on Twitter. And they can look in my website and read the three first chapters of my book. It's www.sharonneer.com. And they can sign up for my newsletter and get newsletters and be involved.
All right. Well, Sharon, again, thank you so much for the time. Really appreciate it. And looking forward to staying connected with you online.
Absolutely. Thank you, Cyrus, for this opportunity to share my book with you and your audience. Thank you so much.
Hey, you're more than welcome. Thank you so much for the time. Definitely want to thank our good friend Julia Drake for making this conversation possible today. Julia, another great one. And I hope our audience really took something away from this and will head over to Amazon.com and be able to get the book again for yourself. Again, The Opposite of Comfortable is the title. You'll find my review there on Amazon.com. I want you all to get the book for yourself, share it with your friends, and definitely continue the conversation. Again, the important thing is there's nothing wrong with going outside your comfort zone, but make sure you don't leave yourself behind. That's one of the big takeaways from Sharon's book, and I know you all will appreciate that in your own life. But for our radio audience, you all stay where you are. There's more Conversations Live to come for you. For those joining us online, we're going to lose you. So if you came in late, you missed part of the conversation with Sharon, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you all can catch the replay right after we go off the air. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live today. You all make it a great one.